This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny,
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld.
Welcome, welcome. Everything, it feels like it's a fresh new day. If you have not noticed, Betches celebrated our 10th birthday this week and everything is just a little bit glowed up. You probably see our brand new podcast cover featuring our lovely faces reenacting the iconic Taylor Armstrong, Kyle Richards meme. But that's not all that's new.
All new merch. Our website.
Betches.com. Brand new. Looks fab. And the At Betches podcast is also relaunched with our three co-founders, Sammy, Aileen, and Jordana, taking it back over. They're talking about their business, friendship, life journey together. It's super exciting to have them back on a podcast together. So go check that out at Betches. And yeah, we have a lot to talk about today. We are going to recap Below Deck Sailing and Real Housewives of Dallas. But before that, let's talk about a little news. When we were recording on Monday, we said that Lala was in labor, going to have her baby any minute. And lo and behold, she posted about the baby while we were in that recording.
Of course. That has happened multiple times every time we record.
What do you think of the name Ocean?
I think it's really pretty. It definitely has some sort of meaning that we don't know about, but... Or maybe not. I don't know. But I love the ocean. So I love that. I think it's really nice that I think so her maiden name is the baby's middle name. So it's Ocean Kent, which is it's just a really pretty name.
Yeah, I agree. It's like a unique name, but not a strange name. You know, like it doesn't feel like she picked something
like
crazy
crayon.
Weird just to do. Yeah. So congratulations to Lala. Very exciting. Less exciting, but very intriguing. Did you see this video yesterday?
I have. That was no.
Circulating. Okay,
but
so you have to go watch it.
Brian Brandy's husband.
Yes. So it's on the Bravo Bay Betches story. If it's not still up, I think at Bravo and Cocktails was the account that posted it originally. So it's a video of a man who looks a lot like Brian Redmond dancing with a woman in a club. It's unclear exactly when it's from, but definitely not from like 15 years ago.
And the woman was not Brandy.
The woman is not Brandy, and he kisses the woman in the video. And so, of course, this is all alleged, but if it is who it looks like, it is unfortunate.
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
it's interesting because there have been some rumors around the time when she announced her departure. There had been that blind item that said like a housewife's husband was cheating and like the baby was actually his, which has been kind of like whispered about with their adopted child. It's the kind of thing where, like, I don't need to make any big theories about what happened, but the video is not great.
It is just so wild that people like that. Like, is Brian famous? No, under no circumstances. But, like, is he on a reality TV show where people would recognize him? Yes. So, like, are you trying to get caught? Like, you go to a bar with people there. Like, it's not that dark in there where people can't see you.
These men on Bravo just cannot keep it together. We've seen Michael Darby fall into a similar situation. A couple seasons ago on Married to Medicine, Dr. Jackie's husband was like seen out with a woman and it was in the blogs. It's just the kind of thing where even if you aren't famous, think about like if you or I were in a bar and we saw Brian Redmond making out with a woman who's not his wife. Am I going to tell someone? hell yeah, I'm going to talk about it on this podcast. Like, I'm going to bring you the exclusive.
Yeah, like, we don't owe anything to you, Brian. We're going to tell everyone we know. And then everyone would be like, who's that? And then that's the kicker.
Everyone in my actual life would be like, who's that? But then it would be like the highest performing thing I've ever posted on social media. So we'll see what's happening with Brandy and Brian. Brian's Instagram account is deactivated right now, but I don't know if it is as of yesterday or if it was like that before. Who knows?
I need to watch this video. Like, I didn't even know this existed.
I mean, it's just like 15 seconds long, but you have to watch it. Let's just talk about Real Housewives of Dallas first, because we're already on the Brandi Redmond train. So we pick up where we left off at Deandra's shaman/hairdresser party. And, you know, Darren has a very interesting energy. They're going around the circle doing these like chantings. And, you know, all the women seem to be...
Right. Like
varying levels of into it.
I just want to reiterate that, like, because we will get into this later. I have a lot to say about Brandy. It wasn't like a religious thing. Like, you didn't have to go if you didn't want to. Like, Deandra she wasn't forcing anyone. Like, it was a nice little moment. Would I have enjoyed it? Probably not. It's not my thing, but I would have went and like done what my friend like. What my friend enjoys. So
I would have been the same as most of these women, where I'm like kind of giggling under my breath and then like that was fun.
Yeah, but it meant a lot to Deandra, and like that was respectful of the ladies to participate.
But of course, anytime you have somebody remotely spiritual or anything on one of these shows, it's then used as a plot device. So Darren groups them up in dyads, which is just a fancy way of saying he paired them up with people that they have like lingering issues with. So of course, Deandra and Carrie have a little moment with each other. They seem like they are still at least pretending to be in a better place. Mm-hmm. And then of course, we have Brandy and Tiffany paired up, and Brandy seems a lot more understanding than she was in Austin, that it's her problem that she needs to figure out.
Right.
And so whether or not it is coming from a sincere place or it's ultimately going to lead anywhere good, I appreciate that she is no longer kind of putting it on Tiffany.
Right. Like, and I feel like I said this, that she needed time. I know that's not an excuse, but like, I feel like she needed to realize what the issue was. And I think in this episode, we saw that she realized that she needed to make a change. But honestly, I have to say, like, I want more from Stephanie this season. Like, she has no drama. We love Stephanie, but like, that she rarely does have drama. But I'm like, wait a second, all this drama is like overshadowing her, and like Cam too. Like Cameron, I can't. And her confessionals is one of the funny. I can't like not laugh at her. She has, and also like, was there some issues with her and Tiffany in the beginning? Yes, but I feel like she has redeemed herself. Like, she's not a problem. But these other women, their drama is too powerful for me.
I was actually thinking about that this morning, because I saw somebody post a meme that was like, you know, like, I'm rooting for Deandra and Tiffany and everyone else, like, I'm not into. And I was thinking about who is like harsh everyone thing. Else. And I'm like, okay, like Carrie, yeah, like I don't love Carrie. Brandy obviously has some issues. Cameron, I can see her being polarizing. Like, a lot of people find her annoying. But like Stephanie, I feel like I just have no impression of her this season. Like,
she's taking a back seat.
Earlier we saw her with the Hallman Foundation stuff, but that wasn't really like, there was nothing interesting happening. Like, it's a nice personal storyline, but there was nothing kind of dramatic about that. She really hasn't gotten involved in the whole Brandy thing, which I think is probably a good decision on her part, because she's not really like attaching herself to Brandy while she's being problematic. But yeah, like, we're what, like 9 or 10 episodes into the season, and I feel like Stephanie hasn't really given us anything, which is, you know, not great.
I mean, and the only party she hosted, well, party, was the lunch where Brandy and Tiffany first like talked, and that was not even about her. Yeah. So hopefully
it's weird, because I feel Brandy and Stephanie have always been kind of a package deal on Dallas Housewives. And for the first couple seasons, like, Brandy and Leanne had this whole big drama, and so Stephanie was kind of right there with it. But now that we know Brandy's leaving, it's like, where does that even really leave Stephanie in the group? I think she gets along with everyone, but it's like, kind of, who cares? I don't know. It's strange because I think people like Stephanie for the most part, but you have to actually like contribute to the group dynamic.
It's like a group project. Like you have to do your part too. Okay. Like you need to participate.
Right now, like her PowerPoint slide would look really pretty, but she would only do like one slide.
And she's like, no. She's the one that would read off the slide as opposed to talking and whatever. She would like, yeah, okay. We're not in school with Stephanie, but this is our impression of what would happen.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology, so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they are the only shapewear that won't ever roll down, no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about effective shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tiffany Moon is obviously the MVP of the group project.
I mean, okay. Also, like Tiffany has really come, like she's I think being more herself now. Like she's being a little
This week she felt so much more kind of like at ease. The stuff with her and her boss and like her husband seems so kind and understanding and supportive.
He's
so
cute. He's always like waiting for her. And like when he had wine and like cheese set up, like, and she's like,
and so it was great to see that kind of weight lifted off her shoulders. Yeah. And then after her moment with Brandy at her birthday party at the end of the episode, she seemed really like she was just having a good time. And like, she finally felt comfortable with the group. And like, she was not kind of overthinking every interaction, and it was so nice to see because it was her birthday. She deserved it. And after kind of what she's sort of been put through her paces with the women, it's like, just have fun. Like,
these women can drink. Oh my god. Like Carrie hosted Tiffany's Moroccan themed birthday party, which I wouldn't say everything was on point. I think it was beautiful. And like,
I think the balloons were lovely, but I don't know what they had to do with Morocco.
No. And like, they all looked beautiful. The outfits are beautiful. I loved the tablescape, the food, everything.
The outfits. Oh my God. Yeah. When everybody was showing up, I was like, Deandra looks great. Gorgeous. Tiffany looks great. Mama D looks great.
Yeah. So Mama D was Tiffany's surprise. Okay. And also, we found out, obviously, like first episode when we met Tiffany, that Mama D was the reason. But even last night when Tiffany was like, she's like my mom, like I know her better than I know Deandra. But they still haven't told us like how?
Like why?
Yeah. Like, can somebody, you can't keep talking about this and not fill us in. I need to know.
We need to get Tiffany Moon on the podcast. Let's make that happen.
Yes.
Because I have questions. But yeah, this birthday party looked nice. They are taking shots on shots on shots. It's, you know, a whole thing. I'm impressed. Half of these women are like 50, so good for them.
I have to say that when they were talking about the shaman, and you can tell Brandy had some ammo in her already, And she, when she said to Mama D, what are you guys talking about? Because she was almost like looking for that to jump in.
Right. She was waiting for it to come up.
I have to say that through all the years, through all the franchises, throughout every stupid argument, my jaw dropped during this. And I was very, very shocked and disappointed. And I am no longer a Tiffany, a Brandy. Not that I ever stan Brandy, but like,
you're not feeling her.
Nope. That after last night. No, nope.
That was so bizarre. So she made some comments while they were at the party, or I guess in her confessional, about how, you know, it made her a little uneasy, or, you know, she preferred to stick with her Christian faith, which is fine.
Absolutely.
To each their own.
Absolutely.
You don't, like, if you feel uncomfortable in a situation, that's your feeling. Like, nobody's going to tell you your feelings are wrong. But when Mama D says that she felt the shaman was demonic, that was like funny to me. I was like, LOL, Mama D.
Mama D, yeah, is there? I have my own. She's a problem as it is. So,
but then Brandy then takes that and really goes to the next level. And she says that she felt that Darren, he wasn't speaking through the word of God, and that in all these crazy times in the world, Deandra as a Christian should be leaning on the word of God, and that as her sister in Christ, Brandy feels like it's her duty to say something to Deandra. And I, when I heard the phrase sister of Christ, I was like, what show am I watching? Oh my right. God.
And Brandy said she doesn't believe you should find answers in anyone other than God. But then you go to Deandra's confessional and was like, this was a meditation. Like, this wasn't religion. And by the way, like, I'm not a religious person, and like, you're right, to each their own. I'm not mad about that. You can feel any way you want to. That does not matter to me. What bothered me was that Brandy was telling Deandra how she should feel and what she should do, and that her views were wrong. And I like took almost like offense to that for Deandra, because no one in their right mind, you believe what you believe. You don't force other people to believe that. And also, Deandra even said, like, this wasn't a religious thing. This was like not,
right.
It was not, we're on two different pages. And then when they did the flashback and showed that Brandy, you know, visited all these other people, like the psychic and blah, blah, blah. Like, you were okay with that, but my shaman was a problem.
It was just super weird. It's like, why are you, like, why is this what you're talking about? And she, and I love that Deandra then says, Jesus would not be judging me the way Brandy is judging me. And Brandy is not Jesus.
Well,
and it's like,
I love that. But it also made me feel like if I were ever to meet Brandy or anyone of any other religion, I would automatically, and I don't give a fuck who judges me, I don't care, but like, I would feel judged by Brandy because we don't believe in the same things. I don't believe in what she believes in. So
I have kind of like complicated feelings about that, because it's like, I obviously, anyone is super open to whatever beliefs,
right?
You know, anybody should believe what they want to believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, I am not a religious person, and it makes me very uncomfortable when people try to kind of put their belief structure or like kind of try too hard. I mean, I've had experiences with family that are religious, and it's like, you know, sometimes it can be a little uncomfortable, even if it's not directly like you should be doing this. Mm-hmm. Like the kind of invitations or the constant like, oh, like if like you shouldn't learn more about this or like whatever, like that kind of thing. And for Brandy to kind of be bringing that energy into something that's clearly not about that, it's like, Deandra is not saying like, fuck Jesus, like I'm not doing that shit anymore. It's like she literally is just like exploring her options,
right,
on a different level. And it's like, why are we talking about like scripture right now? This is so dumb.
Right. And Watch What Happens Live last night, I forgot who it was, which by the way, friend of the pod, Sasha, was on Watch What Happens Live last night. It was amazing. But they were like, why can't you be spiritual and religious? Like, and you can be. You can be anything you want. We're talking about this way too long. I don't want to give Brandy the satisfaction. Like, this was too much.
So let's get to the other big conflict at this party, which is, so later in the night, Deandra is wasted, and Jen, who I still wish they were actually pretending, you know, not acting like she's not there most of the time.
Who, by the way, loved the shaman. Jen,
yeah,
loved.
She was into it. She was having a good time. So earlier in the night, Dee had been talking about her, you know, past, basically when she was like trapping her husband, Mr. Simmons. And Jen asks Deandra, so if Simmons, I can't remember his first name, if he was your stepfather, then why is your last name Simmons? And Deandra, it was such a weird energy because Deandra goes, well, mom, why don't you tell her? And I don't know what she thought her mom was going to say, but her mom then says, well, you know, I remember Deandra said that Simmons will take me lots farther than Calloway, which was her original last name. And so she changed her name basically to get ahead in life. And Deandra, like, loses it. She is so angry. And I just don't know, like, what did she think Dee was going to say? Because if she thought that was what she was going to say, I don't think she would have asked her.
Well, okay, here's the thing. If I think that Deandra and her mother have a relationship that nobody can decipher.
Yes.
Like, it's,
yes,
it is crazy because I think they're very different and I like Deandra and I, Mama D is just like, no disrespect, but she's like, just not my cup of tea. But at the same time, she is more old school. So I have to remember that although she looks amazing and doesn't look that much older, she's like from a different like generation. So I feel like she handles things differently, but I think that Deandra was asking her in hopes that her mom would have her back and say anything other than what she said. And the fact that after Deandra blew up and Mama D left and stood in the corner watching with a grin on her face was like getting under my skin. Like it was,
they have a weird kind of like,
she did that on purpose.
Back and forth.
She knew what she was saying. She knew what she was doing.
Right.
And she did that on purpose.
And especially because Cameron tells us in the confessional that this is sort of a rumor that's gone around Dallas about Deandra for years, that she changed her name to Simmons because she, you know, thought it would be better for her career prospects and stuff. And it's interesting to have that context because then it really is clear why Mama D saying that would be kind of a trigger for Deandra.
Right.
And it clearly is. And I'm sure alcohol also was helping that situation.
She goes, but Mama D was like, she's drunk. And I was like, you did this to get a rise out of her. But it's funny because okay, good for Deandra. She did what she had to do. Is it right? Whatever. But that's not the point. The point to me, it was the point that like her mom almost like, not like, throwing her under the bus. And I was laughing when Deandra was like, now I'm not going to get my inheritance. I thought that was the funniest part because she was like, Mama D kind of just blew up her spot. And she was like, well, what'd you want me to say? Like, that's the truth. So I said the truth. And I was like, you could have said anything else. Like it's, but yeah, you're right. I don't know. Like Deandra handed that to her on a silver platter, basically.
And it looks like we are going to see the Dee and Deandra conflict continue in the next episode. So I'm excited for that. I get what you mean about not loving Mama Dee, but I do think when she is used effectively, her energy really brings something extra to the show. I'm glad we're not seeing the back and forth about their business anymore, really. But this is kind of a fun new avenue for them to explore.
Yeah, and also we just have to point out the snakes that were at the party and like,
oh my god,
a bunch of drunk women, like beyond drunk, running around with like pythons and garden snakes. Like this, it was too it was scary.
Cameron petting a snake in her lap and telling her that it's okay that she's not a show snake.
And then she was like, I have to be honest, I do have one python bag.
Don't we all? Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Let's talk about Below Deck Sailing. I actually loved this episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think this cast is really clicking for me. Obviously, way better than season one of Below Deck Sailing right off the bat.
Ugh, yes.
Okay, so we have the aftermath of Sydney and Gary hooking up in the guest cabin, and I appreciate, even though it's, I guess, none of our business, I appreciate that Sydney confirms that they did have sex, because it's just nice to know.
Right, but Gary claims they just had a cheeky little kiss, but he was joking. Something
that sort of permeates through the episode is that Sydney and Gary seem to be on very different pages about how they're talking about this situation. Sydney immediately goes to the other women's cabin and tells everyone, including Daisy, her boss, or not her boss, but the chief stew, that they slept in the guest cabin. Meanwhile, Gary is playing dumb, acting like nothing happened. And when there's, like, you know, a mess in the guest cabin, he's like, oh, who did that? And it's like, boy, like, your spot has been blown up. Everybody knows.
Here's the thing, though. Like, if you guys did that, why couldn't you have just cleaned the guest cabin? Like, I don't understand that part.
Oh my God.
And then also, when they went back to, like, call him out on it and the handprints on the thing, what was all of that dust? Like, what was that? Why was that there? That means the guest cabin was dirty ahead of time. Like,
unclear. I'm not gonna.
It was like the Titanic in 2021. You know,
I don't know anything about cleaning a boat, but yeah, it's like, honestly, it's shocking that they weren't in more trouble for sleeping in the guest cabin. So at the very least, they should be owning up to it and, like, cleaning up after themselves.
Captain Glenn is the best. They're, like, sitting in the crew after, when Daisy gets mad, it's the funniest thing ever. I really love her as a chief stew. And, like, she was, she's always like, what? And, like, runs. But, like, I found out something. I didn't know that that was called the bathroom, the head. Yeah. Like, I didn't know that, to be honest. Yeah, but when she finds out not one, but two of them were used by crew members, like, Captain Glenn was in the crew mess with them. And he's like, just don't let it happen again. I was like, he's right.
I like that he has a hands off approach with that kind of stuff, because I think Captain Lee is kind of more in the middle, but, like, Sandy gets so involved in that stuff. And it's like, just take a step back. Like,
right. And it's so funny, now that we've seen three captains, we really do notice the micromanaging that Sandy does. I didn't realize it until, like, comparing to other captains, I would be so mad. But I love Captain Sandy.
But yeah, I like that Daisy is, like, trying to get Allie in line with her turndowns. She seems like she is on top of things, but not in a way that's, like, petty, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we also have Natasha being annoyed with Daisy again. I feel like Natasha's kind of, like, looking for reasons to
this is a power
team
thing.
Daisy. Mm-hmm. It feels like, so far, I understand maybe that first breakfast where they didn't want to have whatever, like, that was maybe a real argument, but since then it's like, you need to just, like, suck it up and deal with it, because I don't think Daisy is really, like, fucking up that bad. Mm-hmm.
And
or at least not from what we've seen. Right. So
the thing is, we've said this before about, like, the cruise, like, this is one of the, you know, there's not that many problems, but one of the problems of them meeting each other the day they start to work, like, you need to, like, kind of get a grasp on how you would work together before you work together. And it's just, you kind of jump, you each have a different learning style and management style. And this one just doesn't seem to be clicking at all, though. Like, I don't know why. It seems very easy to, for them to get along. And I don't know. It's, I don't know who's going to win this one either, to be honest.
I don't know. But speaking of disagreements, so JL fucks up again with something with a rope. I don't know. And so Gary kind of...
Something with a rope. You mean Gary telling him to do something and he just stands there with it watching the guests on a paddleboard?
Yes. So Gary says that they will be switching cabins. He doesn't want to hear about it. And it's interesting that JL is like still angry, and it's like, I don't know what you want him to say though. Like, you messed up your job again. You said you're not getting any sleep. Like, I get that you don't want to share the cabin with Captain Glenn, but like, sorry. Like, it's
Captain Glenn isn't looking to have like midnight stories with you. Like, you're just there to like sleep.
Literally, Gary just slept in the guest cabin so he could have sex, and Glenn like doesn't even care. Like, it's not clearly Captain Glenn is not like a tough person to share a cabin with.
Right.
I think he just doesn't like that Gary's kind of pulling a power play on him, but I understand where Gary's coming from. And also Gary probably doesn't want to share with Captain Glenn either.
I think the problem though with JL is that he's late. He seems to be lazy. That's it. He's lazy.
He's like, yeah, it's like there are certain things where it's like, okay, maybe this is because you're not getting enough sleep. Maybe you don't have that much experience. But when you combine that with a laziness factor, it's like that's when it really becomes a big problem.
Right.
And I think that was the issue on regular Below Deck with Shane last season, mm-hmm. was like, okay, like maybe there are some mistakes that are teachable moments or understandable. But then when you're also just late to everything.
Right. Yeah, it's just not meant to be. But okay, so... problem arrives.
It'll be.
Oh my God. We can just break into song on a drop of a dime. But so COVID has now arrived on screen in real time, and it is scary to watch. We don't know if it's COVID yet, but one of the guests doesn't feel good, Andy. He has a fever. They take precaution very quickly. Everyone does everything they need to do. The guests are to stay in their cabin. These guests are quite difficult. They are not the most easygoing guests, and they have the option of staying in their cabins until the guests' COVID tests come back, which could be a little while, or bring them back to anchor and have them stay in a hotel. So the guests are those typical guests. Are you kidding? I've been quarantined already for a week. These are the rules. Like,
we're paying so much money and we're locked in a box. It's it's a pandemic.
He is that type of guy who like goes to a club once, gets like bottle service, and just like stands there and dances with the bottle and is wearing sunglasses. Like, I can see it.
I feel like these people, I understand the frustration, but for them to be like mad at the crew, it's like, you need to understand that you are on a luxury vacation in the middle of a pandemic, and like, things might not go according to plan. And I'm sure they signed some form or, you know, agreed to something with this specific protocol laid out. Like, I don't think this is a surprise.
Totally.
But so we end on a big cliffhanger waiting to get the test results. I'm really curious. I just want to address really quickly, though, the Sydney and Gary situation. Mm-hmm. So they're working like the next day after hooking up, and Gary is basically not giving Sydney the time of day. And she says that Gary has been all work and no flirt all day, which might just be like he's doing his job.
Right.
But it looks like in the next episode, he's going to try to hook up with Allie, which is just, it's not going to end well.
Okay. So he made it very clear that this was not going to be an ongoing thing. So I do have to give him credit for that. But also, I thought Sydney was going to be one of those girls who acted like it never happened. But you know what? She's a girl and a human. People develop feelings. Like, it could happen.
You know, they're in this close quarters. And I feel like it's the kind of thing where even if in your head you know that it's not going anywhere, being like stuck spending time with someone or whatever, it messes with your head, and you might see things that aren't there, or you might make up things in your head. And I just think it's like, you know, he's your boss. You got to play it a little more cool than that. We'll see what happens next episode. But I'm into this season. I feel like they're delivering. We're only 3 episodes in, and I feel like actually a lot has already happened.
I know. I'm excited.
Wait, but the most fun thing that we see in the preview for next episode, because the guests are off the boat quarantining, they get to have like an extra party night.
I know, but they get to stay in, but party.
Yeah, so fun. But yeah, I'm loving the season. We will be back tomorrow with another episode talking about New Jersey and Summer House, of course. So rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.